Now, the food on our tables and the tea and coffee in our mugs and everyday things that we they're everyday things that we take for granted, but they all come from farmers who toil, sweat and slog. However hard they work to provide the things that we depend on, millions of farmers in developing countries aren't paid what they deserve. But for 25 years, they have had a voice in the UK in the form of the Fair Trade Foundation. And to find out about Fair Trade Fortnight, which starts on Monday, I'm joined from the Brentwood Fair Trade Group by Carol Quay. Good morning to you, Carol.
Good morning, Alan.
It's good to see you. You pop in every year. I think you've been into Phoenix in the meantime as well, actually, haven't you?
Yes, I came in, I think, a few months ago, yes.
And chatted with Sarah, I think.
Yes.
But it's always good, just in case people aren't aware. We assume that everybody knows what fair trade is, but maybe that's not always a fair assumption. Just give us a brief idea, a reminder of what it's all about.
Well, fair trade is trade with a difference, really. It's a way for us to help the world's poor every time we shop, ensuring that, you know, producers in poor countries receive a decent return and a fair and stable price for their products, however the world market fluctuates. There's also an extra premium that can be invested in the business that they're in or in the local community. For instance, it can be used for schools, health centres, providing clean, accessible water for the local population, ensuring good transport, you know, facilities. And so there's all sorts of ways the community can benefit as well.
And I was saying that the Fair Trade Foundation, the British national umbrella organisation that you in Brentwood are a part of, it's been going for a quarter of a century, is that right?
Quite a long while, yes. Yes, I think the very first Fair Trade product was coffee, which was introduced in Holland in 1988. And that sort of started a little bit of a revolution, you know, and we found that that caught on in Europe and North America, and then under an organisation that, you know, got all these sort of incentives together, we developed the Fair Trade Foundation, and that's, you know, what we are accountable to in London.
Maybe it's a difficult question to answer, but have things improved in those 25 years, would you say?
They have done. Many, many millions of people in the world have improved their lives through fair trade. And, you know, there's evidence of that mounting up all the time, especially as more and more products are available in the high street, online. And it's really amazing how many things there are, apart from the usual beverages and biscuits and chocolate flowers. You can even get things like fair trade footballs, you can get fair trade cotton garments, you can even get fair trade gold, and I believe there's a movement towards fair trade diamonds. So there's a
really
vast range of fair trade products.
So anything that is traded, really, it's all about trade. It's all about fair trade, isn't it?
Absolutely, yes. And so, you know, what we want people to do is to go out and look out for the fair trade mark and maybe make a bit of a change to your shopping when you're out and about. Maybe change your brand of tea to a fair trade brand, your brand of coffee to a fair trade brand. You know, ask for fair trade coffee and tea in restaurants and really try and make a little bit of a change that really helps you feel that you're helping people in the developing countries.
That's something I'd not thought of before. Now, in terms of restaurants, now obviously you've got chain restaurants and you've got local independent restaurants. Are you talking in terms of sort of persuading them to stock fair trade, that if enough people ask, then, you know, it's demand?
Absolutely. You know, some organisations are very, very, you know, sort of committed to that. Starbucks, for instance, I think all their coffee is basically fair trade now. Not so with some of the other coffee shops that you get around. But there's a place called Woody's in Shenfield. I give them a little bit of publicity. They're brilliant. They stock fair trade coffee, and believe you me, it's really lovely, and fair trade sugar. And in fact, we're going along next, I think on the 18th of March, we're going to be going along. And I think Paul from Phoenix is going to join us that day from Phoenix FM to receive a certificate on behalf of Phoenix FM for the support you give us. And we're going to have a little coffee break there.
We're always delighted to support fair trade. Now, I did mention that you're from the Brentwood Group, and you did briefly refer to Brentwood being a fair trade town. You got that status, what is it, about 5 years ago now, isn't it?
It must be getting on for 10 years ago, actually.
Is it really?
You know, quite a while back.
And remind us what you had to do for that and what
about
it means.
8 years ago. Well, we had to fulfil criteria established by the Fair Trade Foundation, and that included doing an audit of all the stores and restaurants in the area to establish that a certain minimum number of fair trade products were available within the Brentwood area. And we also had to establish that there were a number of local organisations, schools, churches that were also supporting fair trade in some way or another. The council had to make a commitment to support fair trade. They passed a resolution ensuring that they would do that, and they've given us a great deal of support during that time. Media coverage, that has been brilliant from both the Brentwood Gazette and yourselves, you know, at Phoenix FM. We've really, really appreciated the coverage and support we've received from you, and that fulfilled one of the criteria. And we also had to form a local steering group consisting of several volunteers who meet throughout the year and, you know, sort of ensure that we are working towards the goals that the Fair Trade Foundation set for us, maintaining those goals and building upon them so that we can retain the status of Fair Trade Town.
And Fair Trade Fortnight is coming up on Monday. There's usually a specific theme to the fortnight, and it's obviously about promoting all things fair trade. What's happening this fortnight, both nationally, internationally, and more specifically locally?
Well, I think what we want to do is to really reinforce the fact that farmers in the developing world really do need our support, especially in these very uncertain times. We know that, you know, things are changing. You know, the trade sort of conditions are changing. We don't know what the outcome will be for farmers in the future and producers. And we think it's so important that fair trade, you know, continues to be supported in every way possible. We're asking people to kind of do something like maybe in your work environment or at home with neighbours and friends, have a little fair trade break, coffee morning or, you know, tea party, get together, make some fair trade cakes, you know, out of fair trade ingredients, things that can be done in brownie packs, scouts, at schools, you know, have a theme of fair trade and have a little break and have a discussion about it, you know, and promote awareness within the environments in which you live, work and socialise.
I think one of the great things about fair trade is it's so easy for any of us to do, because all you've got to do, as you say, is just look out for fair trade products. And they're not necessarily any more expensive, are they?
No.
We have this, you know, people perhaps have this perception that you're going to be paying a lot more money.
No.
But even if you are paying a few more pennies, it doesn't make any difference to I know it does to some people, obviously, but most of us can afford, you know, if it does cost a couple of pence more, to really make a difference to somebody's life, then it's such an easy thing to do. You referred there, Carol, to changes sort of internationally, and I suppose we're moving into a world of greater protectionism, aren't we, with Donald Trump and very much sort of more isolationist, and obviously Brexit coming here. What about workers in the UK? I mean, without sort of getting too controversial maybe or political, but obviously we've got Brexit and what some people might see as workers' rights, other people see as red tape, and we're going to free ourselves from the shackles of that red tape. We're going to need to be more competitive as a country. Is that something that fair traders perhaps considered, that maybe that means that workers' rights, you know, things like maternity rights and even the minimum wage, you know, could be under threat in the future?
That I wouldn't like to comment on, really. I don't think I've got enough knowledge base about that to be able to really make a fair comment. But I think, you know, it's not incompatible with the principles of fair trade. You know, there's nothing to stop us supporting people's rights in this country as well as people's rights in the developing world. And we're not giving out handouts. We're not, you know, being asked to dip into our pockets and give out lots of money to people in the developing world. We're just being asked to buy products that guarantee that those people will get a fair wage for the work they put in.
And you always like to give the famous Martin Luther King quote, don't you?
Well, yes. I don't know how many people have, you know, heard this, but I know that you are very familiar with it, Alan, that back in the 1960s, Martin Luther King actually made this statement that when we arise in the morning, at the table we drink coffee, which is provided for us by a South American, or tea by a Chinese, or cocoa by a West African, and before we leave for our jobs, we are already beholden to more than half the world. And I think that was such an insightful comment back then, long before fair trade was established. So basically he's saying what we're saying now, we're beholden to people across the world, many of them, you know, the very poorest, who supply products we value so highly, and yet how much do they receive for them? And we need to ask ourselves those questions. You know, maybe when we buy these very cheap T-shirts made of cotton, have a think about what do people actually get for them that are producing that cotton? What do people actually get for, you know, the fruit that they have to go out and sort of labour to produce, you know? So to think about it a little bit.
It's quite simple, isn't it? A fair wage for the work that somebody is doing to provide things that we take for granted literally every single day. Carol, come back to your group. Tell us what you get up to and how people can get involved.
Right. We would love people to get involved. We're a very small group of volunteers. We sort of, the original group of volunteers started in 2007, where a few local residents got together to talk about fair trade, to say that we'd like to become a fair trade town. There are hundreds and hundreds of them now in the UK, you know, fulfilling that criteria. And the first one was started in Garstang in Lancashire, you know, and it's been absolutely brilliant, you know, the work that they've done. What we've been doing of late is, I think about a year ago, last Fair Trade fortnight, Holly Trees, which is our first and only Fair Trade school in the area, Holly Trees Primary School, brilliant school. They fulfilled the criteria for becoming a Fair Trade school. And not for the first time, they did a wonderful Fair Trade event. We had representatives from Phoenix FM there. We had the mayor came along. We had lots of other people from community groups. And we had a fair trade producer speaker from Kenya who came along and talked about the products that he produces and, you know, how fair trade has made such a big difference to his community. And it was a very successful event. And later in the year, we handed out fair trade Christmas cards and chocolate to people at the Shenfield Lighting Up Christmas Fair. That was great fun. So those are the things that we've been doing. We hope this year we're going to encourage people to do things themselves, have fair trade breaks, not just during fair trade fortnight, any time of the year. Have a little think about it, get together. If you want to join us, if you want to just find out what we do, you can visit our website at www.brentwoodfairtradeinoneword.com or email us at brentwoodfairtrade@gmail.com. Tweet us at BWD Fair Trade, and, you know, get to know what we're doing, see what we're doing. If you feel that you've got a few hours to spare during the year, you'd like to get involved, you're creative, you have a little bit of time to spare, if you're a sixth former wanting to get involved in a project, if you've got a church that you'd like to introduce this, you know, the whole concept of fair trade to, or a school, just have a word with us and we'll see what we can do. We can even come along and have a chat to your group. So we would love to hear from you, really would.
Excellent. Carol, well done for all the work that you and the group do. I know, as you say, that there's not a lot of you, but you certainly made a big impact, and you continue to make a big impact in the town and in the course of things. You're being part of changing people's lives somewhere else in the world for the better. So you keep up the good work. Thank you so much for the goodies you brought in as well. Fair trade, of course. I might share them with the other presenters. I don't know. They might be gone by 12 o'clock. But we shall see. And keep in touch. And if not before, we'll see you again next year, I hope.
Yes, I hope so. And thank you so much, Alan, for letting me come on the programme again. Really have appreciated this opportunity to talk about fair trade.